Yes, it is. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful day you've made. We praise you, Father, for all the things that you're doing in our lives. Lord, you're drawing us closer to you, and that's awesome. We thank you, Father, for all your words of encouragement and words to let us know what we need to fix and all of this good stuff, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that we're looking at men and women of Christ. Disciples of Christ. Those are people who look and act and talk like Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, exciting times that you're bringing us into. In Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you, Lord, that all doubt and unbelief is out of this fellowship in Jesus' name. I bind it up and cast it out of here in Jesus' name, that we don't have doubt and unbelief in this fellowship. We all believe what your word says. We stand on it, and we do endure in our faith until things start happening. And even if it don't, we're still going to stand. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We thank you, Father, that everybody that has been praying for healing has got their healing. I confess it in the name of Jesus that everybody that has started confessing their healing has it already, because your DNA is changing in them right now, even as we speak. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God, and me too. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you are guiding and leading and teaching us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that does all those things, Father. We cast down any kind of witchcraft curses that's spoken against this fellowship to try to break up the communications in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. We're all going to have clear communications. The angels are on the job fixing everybody's communications to keep it clean from the attacks of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. I thank you, Father, that tonight's going to be an awesome time. I ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit lead us into the things you'd have us to talk about. I've got quite an idea, but that's okay, Lord. We can change on us any time that you want to change, in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, that tonight is going to be very special to everybody, because your word says it is. I believe my brothers and sisters here love you as much as I do, and more, probably. But I don't know how, because I love you so much. But Lord, we all love you. We thank you, Father, for all the work that you're doing in us. Thank you, Lord, for the trials that are coming to perfect us in this perfection that you want us to walk in. That's what they're for. That's what the trials are for. It's for perfection in you, Lord, and I thank you for it. And I know that sometimes it's not pleasant, but Lord, after it's all over, it is wonderful. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that all the people that we've been praying for to come into the kingdom, you are working on our hearts even as we speak. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to have a wonderful time with you tonight, because we're going to allow you to lead us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Woohoo! Amen. I'll tell you, folks, I am so excited. I don't know if you could tell or not. Anybody got a prayer request? Because God's on the throne. He's listening. He is listening. Amen. Fill us up, Lord. Yeah, Benjamin.
Karen has been feeling really under the weather lately. A lot of people I'm noticing are feeling under the weather lately. We all probably know why. And I'd like just some healing hands. She believes that she's healed in Jesus' name, and I'm wondering if we could just continue on with that, just keep fighting the good fight.
Amen. Well, Father, we lift up Karen, I believe it is. Karen, to you, Lord, and I thank you, Father, that she is healed. I command every spirit of infirmity on her to leave her now and take your symptoms with it. We're not going to put up with it, not another hour. You go from her right now in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you, Father, that Karen is healed. And Benjamin's going to get a text here shortly saying Amen. She feels a whole lot better, because I know your angels are working on her now in Praise Jesus' God. Name. Thank you, Father, that by his stripes, Karen is healed.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Glory. You, hallelujah. Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord. Ooh, my, 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 my. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Isaac or Mariana.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hey, Isaac.
Hey, man. Good to see y'all tonight. Always is. Good to see everybody. I got a prayer request. It might be can I share the story of why I have the prayer request?
Sure. Yeah.
Yep. Thank you. I appreciate y'all's patience. Y'all going to need it for this one. No, but seriously. So I feel like I'm, having a tough time at work due to a Jezebel. There's a new manager, because they fired the old one, and the fellow's been there for 30 some odd years. Well, they fired him because he was an operations manager, but he kind of, I liked him, but I guess it doesn't matter why he got fired. But this lady, she was in charge of another line, so they brought her over. And the thing is, it's a pretty strong Jezebel spirit. She's an open LGBTQ person, lesbian. And man, I hate to be so descriptive about it, but I know that when I see her, I see demons in her eyes all the time, because they're very, it's a, her eyes are very, it's very different. I don't know if anybody else sees it, but I see it, and it's, man, it's so thick. And I'm just like, gosh. Well, she's in operations. Me and the technicians, we're in the engineering department, right? It really has no bearing on what it is we do. And I don't mean to sound boastful or arrogant, and bear with me if I do. They don't know what's best for the equipment. They're not trained. They could not know. But this is the problem I'm finding myself getting into. So a lot of times I do things that they ask just basically to keep them happy. It's minor trivial things. Sure, I'll do it. You know, whether it's programming or something that they need, an additional alarm, whatever. But today we've been, or the last few months, I've been working on a project for another group in the department, just to basically to monitor the status of machines. Okay. They call it status logging. It doesn't really mean anything. Who cares? But so I programmed it that way they can get the correct designations of the equipment, whether it's an operation, not an operation, bypass, they call it tool change or not in use, whatever. It's all kinds of different status codes. And I've done that for them. And I've also incorporated something I didn't want to do. They operations on an Excel spreadsheet, put it in a, they gave me a task to do, which really kind of upset me. But they asked me to make a break, so when the operations goes to break and lunch, it'll sound an alarm, and then it'll also sound an alarm for them to be back in their stations at the given time. So it times them. And I'm like, you know, I got better things to do than to do that for you. You need to train your guys to be at their stations. It's not up to me to do this. But I did it. Well, I also incorporated it into the status logging thing. So now I was able to get two birds with one stone. It works together. I've made one department happy and operations happy. So I filled out a description of operations form I created, and I sent it to operations, said, hey, this is what you're going to need to train your guys on. This is how this works. Well, we had a meeting with all of operations, and I was kind of by myself, and Jezebel was asking questions, which I don't mind. But she's like, well, I don't really like the operation. I would rather do this. And I'm thinking to myself, did you program it? Well, I mean, you didn't even hold a flashlight for me. Where were you besides sitting in your office all day? Right? And that's the thing about the Jezebel spirit. They're They're not confined to any hierarchy. They'll even go outside the realm, like from production engineering. I don't answer to her, but she would like me to believe that I do. Right? So I try to be nice about it. And I'm just sorry I'm long-winded, man, but it's kind of really bothered me today. And I find myself, and forgive me, guys, but I find myself even talking to myself about it because it really bothered me that much. It's just, they didn't like the way I had it working, but it works. And I even built them a control panel with illuminated lights, alarm horns, everything. It cost me money out of my budget that I have to account for. I don't know what more I could have done. But try to please a Jezebel. We'll see how far you get. Anyways, so she's like, well, I wanted to shut the conveyor off. If the conveyor is ever running and somebody accidentally hits that, we want to make sure it gives the right status code. I said, well, they should be trained not to hit the wrong button at the wrong time. Yeah, but we don't want that. And I said, well, I've already given you a way out. If they do that, they can hold both buttons down for 3 seconds and get them back in the status code they needed to be in. I've already preempted that. And they said, yeah, but they shouldn't have to do anything. I said, well, they should be able to do their job and not do it. And she was, well, we also want to shut down the conveyor. I said, then that's called a conveyor stop or an e-stop. That's not a break or a lunch or an end of shift, but I can't get them to reason. And here's where I got really upset. But thank God in the moment I didn't lose my cool because I have been known to do that before, just being frank with you all. She goes, well, I tell you what, this is for everybody. She goes, let's grab the engineer from the other line. We'll bring him in a meeting and explain it to you, and we'll be there to see what we want. And oh man, oh man, was I not happy about that. I said, go ahead, you invite him and we'll have a meeting. So I was really upset. I walked out. And she goes, thanks, Isaac. And I'm like, yeah, you're welcome. In my mind, I'm like, not very welcome. But, I just, man, it really bothered me. So I went and talked to my boss about it because I just needed to get this. I don't want to think about it. I want to get a solution like right now. So I went and talked to him. He said, Isaac, you're just going to have to play it a little smarter. And I said, well, how do I do that? He said, tell her you'll look into it and never do it. You don't answer to her. I said, man, I appreciate that. And I said, man, I really appreciate you always being in my corner. He goes, don't do it. We don't want to start that habit. I said, I'm wrong. I know exactly. The last engineer before me did, and he didn't even last a year. I said, I don't want to do that. And he goes, you've made it work. They can deal with it. If they can't hold two buttons down for 3 seconds, they shouldn't be there. I said, I know. I know. Anyways, but I've still been thinking about it, and I feel like it's really bothered me and irked me, and I've been attacked by Jezebel. But here's the thing. I'm not praying this Jezebel to leave me alone. Sometimes you have to carry your cross because I've dealt with this before with an actual transgender person. And I actually thought it was a woman the whole time. Couldn't find out it wasn't. Didn't know for months. Anyways, I had a dream about that and I think I shared it to you guys. But, I want to be able to carry my cross gracefully and I want to do it like Jesus did it. But I don't think Jesus was really conflicted in his mind about it. I think and I might be wrong here, but I feel like such an innocent man to have to carry the sin of the world on his shoulders to have to come to terms with the sin that sin, you know what I mean? Well, I'm not even doing that. I just, want to be able to do this gracefully, man. And if y'all wouldn't mind praying because they're in the wrong. We do a lot for them, but I can re honestly really get nothing in return from them. And I hate to say it, but literally this department, it's like they do strain out a gnat and swallow a camel when it comes to stuff to do. And it's Michael, I know you've seen this before,
Yeah, I have.
in controls, you have to have, it's easy to throw out an accusation, it's hard to back up the proof, right? Because that's where the work comes. Anyways, I don't know. If y'all prayed for me, just to,
Okay, let's do this.
yeah,
We
thank you.
bind up the works of Jezebel coming against Isaac right now in the name of Jesus. Every time, Jezebel, that you come around Isaac, you keep your mouth shut. in Jesus' name. You cease your activity against him. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get him to sin, and he's not going to do it. So we just command you by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to be quiet when you're around Isaac. In Jesus' name, you will not tell him what you want. Matter of fact, he'll tell you how to do what needs to be done. And I thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray? Because I know it's done. Yeah, Julie.
Thank you. Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord, that you remind Isaac he's got authority over those demons too.
Amen.
When he's at work, and he can bind those demons of manipulation and control and intimidation and those seducing spirits that want to, I'm going to get what I want. They don't. They can't. They can't. They are bound when we bind them. And I thank you, Lord, for giving my brother here confidence, boldness, and the ability to know his place, Father, in the workplace and what his authority is over these demons. Because it's just demons we're working with. She has no idea. She can't help it. And we pray blessings on her, Lord. We pray that you give her the grace to repent, that she come into the kingdom, that she no longer wants to be where she is or who she is. She wants Jesus, and she's going to see Jesus in Isaac and any other brothers around that place, Father, that work there, Father. And I just pray that you strengthen Isaac, keep him in your rest and in your peace. And thank you, Lord. I just know when I went to work, I had to get prayed up all the time. I worked with all those kinds of people too. And, you know, it's a spiritual place, and they do try to, you know, to get you to sin. And, but thank you, Lord, you are our peace in the storm. You're our strength and our rock. And, we want to obey you in all things. So I lift him up, Lord. And I just thank you that you help him, you lead him, you guide him, you bring things back to his remembrance. And I thank you, Lord, he's able to see these things and recognize it, and that he's not moved by any of it. And I thank you, Lord, that his boss, his manager is on his supervisor is on his side. So I thank you, Lord, that you continue to give him wisdom and grace with everybody he works with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you all. It was awesome.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Got a prayer request? Yeah, Phil or Lana?
Hey, we just wanted some agreement and prayer. We are in Detroit this week. Theo's working and took us along, which was a nice treat. But so Theo was mentioning earlier to you, Michael, how it's foggy out here. Well,
yeah.
I had a chance. We're out right now, and we realized this is not fog. This is smog. The air quality is so bad. It's at 193. The index is at 193, and there's an air quality alert in this area for days now. I can't believe people just think this is normal. I don't know. They live here, I guess. But Father God, I thank you for protecting me and my family, that we are under the protection of your wings, Father God, and none of this is going to affect us. It's not going to affect our health and our short stay here, Father God. And we thank you for bringing the sun back around here, because it just looks like an orange ball in the sky. It is pretty creepy how smoggy this place is. But thank you, Father, that you have favor on your elect and that we are not harmed in our stay in this area. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for your angels keeping them from breathing anything that's harmful to their health. And we thank you for it, Father. Their oxygen is blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody else?
I saw something online about wildfires, and Anna just put something in the chat. I heard something about that too. There's wildfires and stuff in the Midwest. So I don't know if that's part of it, but Detroit, you know, is not necessarily the best place for air quality either.
Okay. Go ahead, Anna.
I was more wondering about the wildfires in Canada. I wanted to pray for Matthew, and then I wanted to share a testimony, if that's all right, Michael.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. He didn't get much sleep last night. Plus, he's not feeling well. He's got a, besides, I mean, the not feeling well is unrelated, but also he's got a wisdom tooth that's not coming through right, it seems like. And it's just giving him a lot of pain. And so thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we just cast down any witchcraft or anything contrary to the word of God. We thank you, Lord, what the word says. And we command that tooth to be straightened out in the name of Jesus and to come through quickly and painlessly. I just rebuke this constant, you know, off and on, not, I shouldn't say constant, but over the years, it's just off and on his wisdom teeth trying to come in, but not coming in. So I thank you, Lord, that they're going to come in this year and they're going to come in perfectly and not move it, not shift any of his other teeth around in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I just rebuke any curses sent against us or anything, Lord. I know that we are justified by faith until you show us otherwise, if there's anything. And I thank you, Lord, that these symptoms have got to go in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, he's going to have a good night's sleep. He's going to wake up ready to finish out his work week in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And the testimony I wanted to share, I shared it with a local group, but we had got our little notice card for the registration tabs for the van. And we had got them super early, so I stuck it to the side and forgot about it. And because they've always been due, you know, we had the 400, it was always due in October. So in my mind, it's just, oh, I don't have to deal with tabs until October. Well, then I was looking for a piece of mail and I found it and I was like, oh no, it's a month and a half overdue. And it was $56. And I was like, okay, Lord, okay. And so I'm still looking for this other piece of mail. So I'm looking through, can't find it where I put the mail. I look through my diaper bag and I find some money. And I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. And I keep looking for the mail and I go look through the car, glove box. And there's a piece of mail that I needed and some more money. And I was like, okay. And I look and I counted it all up. It was $57. And they didn't even charge me a late fee. So I was like, thank you, Lord. Because I found it just in time when I wouldn't have had the money before that. So the Lord let me find it.
Awesome.
And you know, nothing came of it that it was late.
God, it was
and I was just like, thank you, Lord. Like that is so cool. Like I find the mail and then 10 minutes later, I find the exact amount of money. So praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father, awesome. For just putting the money out there when we need it. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Okay, Julie, you're up, girl. You can start singing anytime.
No.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to let you.
I'll sing with you with the video, though.
Okay, you got it now. Uh-oh.
Hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woohoo! Thank you, Father. I think I'll try to get them over here to Madisonville, see if they could come perform for us. Go ahead, Benjamin.
I've got a bit of a testimony. If you remember what I brought up last time was that the Lord's been convicting me on what we're doing at work because I'm not technically legally allowed to do what I'm supposed to be doing. And I brought it up with my boss just to like talk about it. And then he sort of just enlightened me that a lot of what we do is in the gray area. And so I'm sort of just taking that as a, as sort of just like a precursor of, I think I might need to leave where I'm working right now. And so I've been applying to some jobs and, you know, I'm just, I'm also going to be asking for some prayer to find a good job. Not really sure what's going to happen. He is my landlord, but, he's not a very vengeful man, so I don't think he'd kick me out or anything. But, you know, it's in his hands. And I'm just wondering if, I can get some prayer just to ease my heart and to put my mind at peace with that.
Okay. All right, well, Father, if you've just got him there to, for a trial to get rid of flesh, let him know. But if it's something that you want him to change, let him know that also. And Lord, we just thank you that you want Ben in a place that he will grow the fastest. In Jesus' name. Wherever it is. And I thank you for doing that for him, Lord. And if there's a job opening out there that you wanted him to take, let it be known to him. Let it come to him in a way that he'll know that, hey, this is from God. I think I'll go apply for this job. And then we'll see what happens. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord. And everything that you do, you are a sovereign God. And everything that you do is for a purpose. And I praise you, Father, for leading Ben to what you want him to do in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I believe you're going to do it too, Lord, in a supernatural way. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Also, Karen's parents has invited me to one of their Bible studies tomorrow night. And, you know, I'm a little like on edge and going because, I don't know what denomination they're part of. I've just asked Karen. I'm not, the church is non-denominational, but, and I've met the pastor. He seems like a nice man, but if I go, I want to have at least discernment and what they're talking about and, you know, not to just overstep my bounds or to be respectful to the man of the household. Cause I think it's going to be at his house actually. So, Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to walk with you, with other fellow Christians. Just guide my words in my mind and in discernment if there's any falsities. And if there's going to be good fellowship, Lord, I thank you, Father, for another group of people to fellowship with and to grow with, to encourage each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for giving Ben wisdom and discernment when to speak and when not to speak, and to only speak the things that you'd have him to speak, Lord. Not to cause division, but to cause questions to come forward as to what's, you know, the subject is. And if that's the case, and I thank you, Father, for doing it in a nice, meaningful way. In Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
Thank you, Father.
Hi, everybody. I was thinking about a scripture, because when Isaac, gave his prayer request, it dawned on me, I have kind of the same situation happening at work, where there's an individual that, that is kind of, it's kind of over authority. They're in the, their construction manager or, and they are hired by the owner to oversee what we do in the, you know, as a general contractor. It's kind of the same in a way. I just realized it's kind of the same situation, that there's a couple things happen in there. They, number one, they have to, there's kind of a motivation there to justify their position, because they're getting paid, you know, to oversee. And of course, you have to make it a point to, be able to record certain instances. It proves that you're overseeing, you know, and that sort of thing. But again, it happens in such a way that you can tell that they may not understand the construction process, and it becomes kind of a nitpicking type of, thing that happens. But it just dawned on me when Isaac was saying that, what the Lord was doing. And I wanted to share a scripture that, you know, the Lord has had on me for a long, long time. And just, he keeps bringing out aspects of it. But it's in Romans, chapter 13. And I'm going out, I'm going to start in chapter one. I mean, in verse one, I wanted to just read that because I probably won't get very far, but I wanted to preface that with the words of Jesus when he came back and he gave the Great Commission, and he said something very, very, I can't think of the word that I want to use, but I'll just say what he said. He said, all authority is given unto me. Therefore go. And I don't know if this connects in with it or whatever, but, I had to realize, you know, a ways back that I have been bought, and we have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. We are not our own. We're owned by him. And we are, shall we say, a tool in his tool belt. We're here for his purposes. And so I got to thinking, reading in Romans 13, it says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. I'm reading out of the New American Standard, and for this reason, because they use the proper word for most of the versions or translations, however you want to say it, they use the word powers and replace it for the word for authority. And those are obviously two very different words. But anyway, he says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For, and this is the thing that hit me lately, there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. And I had to think about that because one of the questions that I had as I was pondering this is, well, what about usurped authority? What about authority that somebody thinks they have and they are exercising it over you? And it's interesting that God doesn't differentiate it. He says all authority is under him. He created all authority. For there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who oppose will receive condemnation upon themselves. And then it goes through that and puts a little flesh on it afterwards so that you can kind of see what it is. But I guess the point that it made to me, that even these usurped authorities, even these that come your way and come into your life, come into my life, are in God's hands. They're tools in his hands. And he has the ability to bring them in at will and do so for his particular purposes. This is only one aspect of this, but I think that the Lord brings these authorities into our lives sometimes to create a disturbance within us. And I've kind of learned to follow that disturbance, follow the cause of that disturbance within me. Why am I disturbed about that? Because I personally believe God's more concerned, and possibly the reason that he brings these things up to create these disturbances within us is so that we follow him through to the source and replace that disturbance with the foundation of his truth and faith in his word in some form or another. And it's so easy. You know, the first thing I want to do, I believe we all want to do, is reject it and get out from under this and whatever. But God is raising them up for his purpose to do something within us, because he wants to set us free from these things within us that go contrary to love. And I know that this world that we're in is not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. It's going to deteriorate. I believe that it is going to get so devastatingly evil that we have to be reliant totally upon his ability to separate, sanctify, keep us in the perfect place of the Most High, which is protected against all forms of evil, but that we are free to love, express the love of Christ in such a balance that we do not accept the sin. And I believe that the Lord is taking us through that very thing. And so in doing so, it's showing us how to respond the way he would respond to these certain people that come into our lives. I know for a fact that it would be, for me, throwing me into situations where the people are just so devastatingly evil, and being inwardly free to, so free and confident in God's ability to save me, that I can rest in that environment and express his love and his truth to those in need. I watched a video. Sometimes on Telegram, you get these, you know, blurbs. I think half of it is deception, and if not most of it, but showing videos of some of these, you know, parades and debauchery that are going around the country now. And I saw this situation where this Christian was standing out, and he was reading and confronting these people, reading out of the Bible. And they attacked him and took the Bible and ripped it up and everything. And there was one of these people that was defending, was stood up for him and was defending him. And you could tell that the person that was doing it was very caught in that type of lifestyle. But, and then it showed a young boy or young girl, not quite sure what it was, the one who had taken that Bible and ripped it up, and he was bringing it back. And he gave it back to the guy. And when you looked at that person's eyes, you could see that they were trapped. They were going with the flow of that environment or whatever it was, and that they were unsure about what they were in. And so it just hit me at that time. There are people, even in the midst of that debauchery, that God wants to save and turn their hearts. I'm getting off track here, but I know God is doing, he is doing something marvelous within us and within me. And and he is in control, that none of this stuff is taking him by surprise. He's only opening up our eyes as to where he knew it was going. And I just believe that he is preparing us, preparing our hearts, and setting us free to be able to respond in his way in this environment that we're coming into. So, Father, I just thank you. I thank you for the fact that none of this is taking you by surprise. You are in control of all things. You are raising up a standard to lifting up a people, lifting up the man child, the bride, to walk through this time and to be able to rescue the perishing. And I thank you, Lord, that you are removing all things within us that oppose your love and your heart of compassion and your truth. You are setting us free, and I thank you for it, Lord. You're using the very tools of this world to set your people free, and we just praise you. We thank you that in the that all of these things that confront us and face us in the hands of a lesser God would have somebody scratching their head, but it is no problem to you. You're using this environment to bring forth Christ in us. And I just thank you, Father. I thank you that you are in charge of everything that's happening. All authority belongs to you. And I thank you, Lord. I just praise you and bless you. Thank you for your work in us. Thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit, blessing our hearts, opening up our eyes, setting us free to walk in your truth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Get all this stuff out of us, Lord. That's how you got to do it. Okay. Anybody else? Hey, Andrew. Go ahead, Andrew.
Lord's been doing some stuff with me. Yesterday we had a 6-hour power failure in my building here. Turns out it was only our block here. I just don't know where to start. You know, I posed a question about humbleness the last time. I think it was on Saturday, or maybe it was Thursday. And the Lord reminded me of a dream that I had a long time ago. And it was even before, I don't even know what church I was in. It was a real long time ago. And he interpreted it to me in a second. And this dream, if a baby Christian was to get this dream, and I was a baby Christian, it would make you think that you were the worst person ever. And I'll try and remember the dream because I didn't write it down, but it was a dream where I was on a scene there. Where the whole world had a gray sky, the earth was all gray. It looked like asphalt, dried asphalt. There was a staircase that went into the heavens. It looked like those moving stairs, escalators. I don't think the stairs were moving. I didn't get to see the stairs because I was off to the right of this, looking at the stairs. And on the other side of the stairs, there was this long lineup of, I guess they were people, and they were all the same color gray. And I'm there going, stairway to heaven. You know, you couldn't see because the sky was gray. Everything was gray. And I just said, that's the stairway to heaven. And all these people on the left were all lined up and they were all looking like gray silhouettes. And I don't know if there was any people behind me. And there was these huger figures alongside, okay, keeping the people in line. As I examined the people to on the left-hand side, a very long lineup of people off into the horizon. And all the horizon's gray, everything's flat, gray, base, no vegetation, and it was the surface of the earth. And this is what the Lord was showing me in my dream. And there was these larger figures, maybe 2 feet taller, sort of governing the people to make sure they're all still in line. And I looked to my left, and I saw one of these big figures over there motioning with his hand to come toward me. And I looked at him, and I said, I ain't going over with him. He's a freaky-looking character. I'm not going there, you know. And he and I said to myself in the dream, you know, I want to look up the escalator and see God. So I took my first step in the motion to go in the direction of the escalator, and my feet weren't working anymore. I was just floating towards it. Underneath the escalator was a pit. Every once in a while, fire would come out. Now, this baby Christian had this dream, you know. I wanted to see God. I wanted to take a good look at him. And as I was going over, and I was going, how come I can't walk? This is not right, you know. I can't walk. I can't stop, you know. I can't change direction. It's like I was being controlled. And, suddenly, I was heading over to the pit of fire. And I came right to the edge of the pit of the fire. And I said, I didn't want to go here. I wanted to see God. And I was looking over the edge. And it was just a pool of fire. Now, I don't know if someone threw me in, but I was thrown into that fire. And I was falling down, you know, trying to stop myself from falling in midair there. And I cried out to God, and the dream ended. And God revealed the answer to this dream for me. If you want to see God, you're going to have to go through the fire. You're going to have yourself burned up. All your flesh has to go, man. And you need to go through this fire to see God. And I went, man, why didn't you tell me this long time ago? You know, this was a distress to a little baby Christian, you know. And even before I even knew, I told the dream, I think, to one of the guys. And he said, well, just keep it in thought, Andrew. I don't know what it means. You know, I'm not that good at it. And I knew there was something to dreams, but I just thought I was the baddest Christian ever because I'm ending up in the fire. And I sort of associated the fire with hell and stuff. And he just showed me that we have to have the chaff burnt up. And he's got the fan there. And he's going to fan it, and it's going to be burnt, and only the fruit goes into the garner. So. It's still a spooky dream to me because it kind of verifies what we're going into. And the Lord showed me this dream before the power failure we had, and I said, Lord, you got to show me something. You got to show me something because something maybe to verify that dream. So we had some really bad weather yesterday here in Ottawa. And so during the times when it wasn't raining, I decided to go out, you know, to have a little, because we have an electronic door in the building. And if it's electric and the power's out, they put a little pylon, or orange pylon, to keep the door open. And I went out, and the first thing, one of my neighbors was down there, and he said, well, the power's going to come on 6 o'clock. And I said, where are you getting this information? And he says, oh, no, I got connections, you know, starts joking with me, you know. And I go, oh, yeah, he uses his phone for internet. I don't. So I went for my walk just to see the extent of the power failure. I live in a building. There's another twin building right next to me. And then there's the shopping mall. It's called Enville. And It was at a power too, where I get my food and stuff and go for my nice haircuts. Anyway, it had no power there too. But on the very corner, in the very end of the block here, there was power. And I just went around to see, and it was just our block, you know. And I came back home, you know, 6 o'clock was coming. No power came on closer to 10 o'clock. And, you know, I'm praying. I phoned my son and said, oh, we got a power. Oh, well, I can pray for you, Dad. And I said, well, you don't have to pray for me, son. They say it might come back on, you know. I thought I was still going to be able to make my supper and stuff. I did anyway. And I'm praying, you know, I'm touching the lamp, praying for the light, the electricity to come on. And it didn't come on till 10 o'clock. So I, you know, had something to eat, went to bed. And the next day I woke up and the Lord said, you have to wait to the very end of your tribulation, which was the darkness that I was in. And there was like storms. The trees were blowing. And rain. We even had hail here. And so I got my answer. He reminded me that I asked him for that. And he reminded me of my dream and gave me the answer for that. You know, you can't take the sandals of peace and put them on iron and clay feet. And that's what I think the church is trying to do. The denominations, you know, they just don't fit. They don't go together. It can't be. Those sandals of peace have to be put on God's people. And I just want to, you know, what verses I'm talking about in Ephesians 6, 10 to 24. And the armor of God is the word of God. And it's his spirit and life also. It's the spirit, the water, and the blood. And there's verses for these. And living is the word of God and active. The armor of God is the active part. And, you know, we have the snow white or the luminous garment underneath that. And in him we live, move, and have our being. You know, this is, everyone has a journey. Even the lost have a journey. When you look at those pilgrim progresses, and this pertains to, from what I heard so far from Pat and my son, I didn't hear what Isaac had to say. And those are good verses, Pat, from Romans 13, having to deal with what everyone has to deal with. But, you know, in the Pilgrim's Progress, they never thought a second about it, you know. Like when the Pilgrim is there with Faithful, they have to go to Vanity Fair. And they met up with Evangelist. And he told them, one of them is going to pass away. And they thought nothing of it. That's the direction that we have to go in. And it's like when I wasn't moving, I moved in motion to go into the direction to see God. But they had to go that way. And you have to go and do what God says first. And so the shoes of the gospel of peace. You see that I just wrote a little passage here. The shoes of peace lead you. You do not lead the shoes. They'll take you where you have to go. And it's for your good. You know, through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom. And so is also all the armor. We know what it says about the word of God in Luke 1:37. And the armor and the righteous robes we have are all the word of God. The snow white robes, they move you around, they lead you. They lead this tongue of yours. Hopefully it's leading you the right way. And you have this journey to go on. And it's not, I would say, automatic. The Lord instills in you what he's doing with you. So the shoes of peace lead you. You do not leave the shoes because it's the word of God. And no word of God shall be void of power. And so is all the armor, the word of God, and your righteous robes that are underneath your garment. You know, it's a head to foot, snow white garment, luminous for some people. But this is the word of God, your robe. And you do your laundry, you know, when you take your, I don't like doing laundry. But you go do it. But, you know, someone else is washing your robes. This word of God sanctifies and makes you glorify God. I'll just put it that way. Which are washed by God's power. And there's three elements to this power, which is, as you know, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, which is a really good verse for that, is what I was reading about this morning. I added it to a certain area, 16 and 7 of John. I could go there and read it if you want me to. I guess I will. It's kind of important. Uh, 16 and 7 says, but I tell you the truth, it is expedient, suitable under the circumstances, needs to be done for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go, I will send him unto you. So, and there's talked about the conviction of the Holy Spirit that some people try to do, convict people of sin, and I don't think you're supposed to do that. But then it sounds like you're an accuser or a judger. So you don't do that. The sinner has to know he's a badass so that he can come to the wonderful gospel, which God will choreograph and set up in people so that they can be saved. Like Cornelius had it, the jailer had it, now even the apostle Paul had it when he went on his road to Damascus. Oh, Lord help me. And so, which are the robes which are washed by God's power? And of course, there's power in the word, power in the spirit, and there's power in the new life, the blood, and it's the blood of the Lamb, blood of Jesus Christ, of course. And of course, Revelation 7:14, 777, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So, these garments, they lead you. And it's a journey that everyone has. And blessed are they that washed their robes, that theirs shall be the authority over the tree of life, and they may enter by the gates into the city. And so that's a lovely blessing. We're supposed to be giving these blessings from God. And so, you know, from there, you know, I did go to Romans 5 where it talks about rejoicing in tribulation, and the same thing is said in James chapter 1, And through much tribulation, you must enter the kingdom. And we're coming to that time. And I have to have the thought, the heart, the desire, the strength, the soul that gets lit by the Lord. You know, that there's a lamp there, that there's seven lights to it, and there's attributes, or not attributes, but definitions to these seven lights, and there's spirits also. So the light, as it says, in him was life, and this life is the light of men. And the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness didn't want to apprehend it. And of course, they don't apprehend it. The ones who do are getting called. So anyways, I just wanted to bring that up because I remember a time where I retired, and I remember talking on this fellowship, and I was going, Michael, I don't have to go to work anymore and be tested all the time with the people that were around me. And you know, the Lord had my retirement party actually showed two people, and I knew they had demons on them. And I told them how I got saved at my workplace. Told them the story on how I was witnessed to, how 31 years ago I got saved at work. And of course, the person who God used to do this with me is no longer living, but he had a twin brother, and he used to help a lot too. So I got his phone number out of that. He's not a pre-tripper. He's a post-tripper. And through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom. We have a journey. The journey, as you probably know, there are several different types of pilgrim progresses. You know, even David Eales had a journey going down a mountain in a car. There was a valley in the middle, and if he turned to the left or if he turned to the right, he wouldn't have any more progress. And he came to the bottom where there was the tools that were anointed for him for binding and loosing, and he started going up the other mountain. So we it almost sounds like another pilgrim's progress, and it's something God showed him. You know, there's this book that I brought up before, Escape from Christendom. It's a very good book. Another Pilgrim's Progress, per se. We have lots of dreams, and we know that these dreams are warning us of the future happening, just like the one I got that he finally, it was like, bing, downloaded in there. And God talked to me, and it's like, he gets so many words in just this one little download, and you're going, he must be a real fast talker when he does that and puts it in there, and I don't know how he does it, but I'm just glad he does. I'm happy to hear from the Lord. I'm happy to hear that that there is a journey we're on, and we have to be faithful, hopeful, and we have to be Christian, of course. In our, we have a shepherd, a Hermas. He showed us some things there in his dreams that still apply to today. And there's the vine and the elm, something that helped me when I needed it, at the time when I needed it. And you know, sometimes the Lord will show you just how dark a person can be, even a saved person, and how rebellious sometimes a person might take his way and his journey, and he has to correct him on that, and for his benefit, but he prepares this person through his life for what he went through. to be successful in some future point pertaining to similar things. So I don't want to go into details about my own journey. Everyone has a journey. A lot, because you know, in the Pilgrim's Progress, there was sloth, there was simple, there was presumption, there was all these different characters that you meet up with, you know. There was also help, and there was evangelist. But I would say to you that just like Jeroboam and all those different examples that were recently said, you know, I jotted them down here. You know that there's a really good example of Naboth, the guy who had the fruitful field right beside the, I guess, the castle where Ahab lived. And, you know, you can just picture it there with all these vines, maybe some fruit trees in there. And he wants to take all that out, you know, all the years of making these trees and these vines and putting the posts in for, I guess, all the grapes and the fig trees. And, you know, he wants to tear it all out so he can plant basil and, I don't know, oregano, whatever, herbs. And he's really not thinking too well. I would prefer to have the fruit rather than, what do they put on potatoes there? Dill? You know, you can make potato. He doesn't have the potatoes. You put dill in a frying pan with butter. That's all. But you put potatoes. At least you got something. You know? And he doesn't want the potatoes. He wants the dill in the butter. And that's, you can't live off of dill and butter. And haven't had those potatoes in a long time. So I'm gonna have to make some. I'm gonna have to look for a recipe. I don't know. But you know that Naboth is, he had a beautiful vineyard that was passed on in his family. And of course, Ahab the beast is also in chapter 13, a future happening. Chapter 13, 1 to 10. And then there's a Jezebel in chapter 13, 11 to 18. And that's the Jezebel who got Ahab his field. And Jezebel set up some real base people to do to Naboth what he was supposed to do. And they discredited him. You can see it's a contagious spirit that's out there today. I've done it myself. It's been around for a long time. Slander, you know, sometimes slander could get into your mouth because of what's going on out there. No, I'm talking about way back when there was a certain president in the United States before Trump, and there were people slandering him, and then there is Trump too, and then there's the guy you have now too. So you got to be careful around slanderous things, because you know they're not the right spirit in a person. And I'm sure there's this in every country for every leader, and it's set up this way because there's a journey here, and you don't want to meet up with Mr. Slander or Obstinate or you know, what's the next one? Atheist. That's a big one. You know, agnostic, you know. There's a lot of different people, little different spirits here that, you know, murmuring, mocking, scoffing, scorning. It's like they went into the devil's wine store and drank up some stuff. You know, the devil, you know, he's a father too. He wants to put the wrong seed in you. And God the Father wants to put the right seed in you so that you could flourish and have the fruit of God and not the fruit of the father of all lies. So I'm just radiating some of the things that the Lord has been showing me lately, you know, and it's still going on. I'd like to do more in the sense of being used by the Lord. But you're the first vessel he uses, and that's what he's doing with us, and he's preparing us. I'm sure when people think back on your own journeys, you know, it wasn't till fairly recently that I actually was introduced to the Pilgrim's Progress, and the Lord, you know, you just, you're on your journey, and you're just, when I didn't know about this Pilgrim's Progress book, when I first saw it, or it was read to me, I was amazed. I was going, man, if I would have had this a long time ago, I would have been so much better off, because now I know what actually was going on with me. You know, it's kind of like you're lost without a template. Of course, you know, we all have a journey, but the best journey, I think, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had to do his journey. We have some things said about him when he was a young boy, but then he something happened to him, and he was put on a more wonderful journey for us to give up his life, so that we would have life. And we step into that journey now to continue with him 30, 60, and 100 fold. And it's just so miraculous on how he does it with each of us. And when he's showed me this, you know, I was, wow, these sandals are on me, and I'm going into battle, the battle with Apollyon. And instead of it just being a little cartoon or a movie that I watch, I have a whole bunch, Ben will vouch for me, I have a whole bunch of these cartoons and movies about Pilgrim's Progress, and I got a lot of things loaded, downloaded from Shepherd of Hermas, and I got this book here. When he showed me he got that book, I said, "Ben, well, I'd love to have one of those." So he's my techie today. And it's a real nice book. You know, the only reason why I wanted it is because it's referenced in one of the YouTube, the David Eales read it for sure, because he's used it. And you know, I just would like to pray. I pray a song for me and for all you guys and everywhere else. My brothers and sisters are, at whatever age they are, whatever maturity they have, and I'm just going to go for it. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going in and thy coming out from this time forth and even forevermore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be this word that is our garments. And we will do this journey fully trusting and depending on the Lord, so that we would enter his rest with thanksgiving in our hearts and with joy. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
I'll just be quiet for the rest of the day.
Okay. That was good, Andrew. Thank you for sharing that. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Cheryl's still videoed up.
Huh?
Hello, I'm here. I just had to get back to the call. I need some prayer. I already let y'all know that I backed out of getting a lawyer, and my brothers are angry with me because now they say that they won't be able to go through with it or whatever for their part. And they're mad at me because they may have to owe some money, and they may have to owe some money for myself, and that I may have to go to jail, and that I'm misinterpreting the word of God. And they're going to turn their backs on me and helping me. I have my stuff on my brother's trailer, which I probably need to get rid of it anyways. It's been there since October. So whatever's on there, I probably don't need anyways because I haven't used it since then. But he's going to take his trailer away, so I won't, because I'm not helping him. And I believe in my heart that I'm doing the right thing, because I fear God more than I fear man. And I'm believing and forgiving my brothers and for the people that are suing me. I forgive them. The Lord has done a lot in my life and has brought me out of a lot of darkness. And I owe him my entire life. And I love him, and I want to spend eternity with him. And I just need prayer for strength and to also keep my tongue, because I still struggle with the flesh, and I don't want to get angry and allow the devil to come in, because I want this to be all God, and I want to reflect God in his word, and I don't want to be a stumbling block for no one, and I want all the glory to go to God, because I am praying for my brothers and for the people that are suing me. And I just want to, I want the Lord to keep me with him in his strength, in his word, in his truth, and in his light. And I need prayer for that, because I have nobody here. I mean, I have y'all, but I have no physical person. I don't have to help me along. I mean, I have the Lord. That's everything that I need. But I'm still kind of in the flesh. It's kind of hard. It's hard. And yeah. I want to do what's right. I don't want to fear man, because I have feared man all my life and hadn't feared God like I should have feared him. And I want to reverence him, and I want to fear him, and I want to serve him, and I want to love him with my whole heart. I want a pure heart. I want to overcome my thoughts. I want to overcome the flesh 100%. And I know I can't do it in my own self, and it's only by the grace of God that I'll be able to do this, and I want it. And I want to see it and believe it in my heart, so I can stand firm and not be swayed to and fro by all the words and all the evil thoughts Satan puts, the doubt Satan puts in my heart, because I don't want to doubt God, I want to trust him with my whole heart. Do you know what I'm saying? And I know I sound like I may be circling in a circle, but this has been a while.
No, you're making perfect, Cheryl, you're making perfect sense. You're making perfect sense. I just let's pray. Father, I lift up my sister Cheryl. Lord, you've heard her heart, the cry of her heart. She wants nothing but to serve you. She wants nothing but to please you. She's given up the flesh life of serving man. And she just wants you, Lord. That is exactly what you're telling us we all need to do. That is exactly the same thing. And Father, I thank you hear her heart's cry. And I praise you, Father, for bringing about this wonderful woman of God into a place to where you are constantly talking to her. You are constantly ministering to Sharon. And I praise you for doing that, Father, because I know you hear her voice. And that's an awesome place to be. I thank you, Lord, that this little thing that seems so big, this mountain that seems so big, after it's all over, she's going to be glad that she went through it. And Father, I thank you for bringing my sister into the realm of walking with you in the cool of the morning. And I thank you for it, Father, that she hears your voice loud and clear at all times, because that's where you want us all to be. And I thank you, Father, she's not alone. She has you. You are her Father. And I praise you, Father, for wrapping her up in your arms in those times of trouble and putting peace and love in her heart. Thank you, Father, for my sister Sharon. And Lord, I think at some point in time that she's going to be with all of people like-minded Christians in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. Praise you, Father, for my sister Sharon. And I thank you, Lord, for lifting her up above this circumstance in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Go ahead,
praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the victory that Cheryl already has, God. It's already written in your word. You said, Lord, if we confess you before man, you will confess us before our Father in heaven and the angels. And I thank you, Lord, that that's your promise. It's your promise. It's your word, and you don't change. She's relying on you, God. She's trusting you with her whole heart, and she is being obedient to what she knows and understands. And I thank you, Lord, that she's going to have this victory, God, because you've given it to her. I pray you give her the peace in her heart, like Michael prayed. Give her rest in her soul. But you are on her side, and you will not disappoint her. You will not fail her. You won't leave her. And we come against these spirits that are in operation in her family right now, this anger and resentment and bitterness, the control, the manipulation, the intimidation, the threats, the witchcraft that's being in operation, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. And we bind these demons and we command them to shut up.
Amen.
They're bound. You're not going to talk to her that way anymore. And I thank you, Lord, for doing a quick work of bringing them to a place of repentance for what they're saying and what they're doing right now. They're in fear. They're operating in the flesh. That we bind these spirits of greed and just the love of this world. And God, they don't know you. They don't know you yet, but you know them because of Cheryl's faith. They're coming into the kingdom, and you're using all this, Lord, for your great glory. And we praise you, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for going before Cheryl, and that you do a quick work here and bringing this to a close. To a quick work and bringing this to a close, Lord. And in the meantime, that you just keep Cheryl at peace. She doesn't have to respond to her family right now. She walked away from all this, Lord, and she's letting you fight the battle for her. And we're going to stand still. We're going to stand still and see the arm of the glory of God and your mighty right arm, Lord, to deliver her in this. And she's going to come out on top. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Father. I believe it's done.
Amen. I know God is sovereign, and I know I need this cross, and I praise the Lord for this cross. I'm not crying in woe is me. I know that that God is doing a work in me. My heart goes out to my brothers and their wives and everybody that is against me and the people that are suing me. I once was, and I'm not saying I have made it completely, but I am walking out of the darkness and I'm walking into the light. And I just pray that that's what they will do. And I just ask for the mercy of God, because nobody can come to him unless he draws them. And I just pray that he draws them and forgives them and saves their souls. Because eternity is for a long time.
Praise God. Cheryl, that was an uplifting testimony, believe it or not. Thank you so much for it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, give us all of that resolution to go ahead and serve you, regardless of who comes against us, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for getting rid of all of our idols. In Jesus' name. Okay. That's done, Cheryl. It's taken care of. Just believe God, dear. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Debbie.
Yeah, I'd like to read a psalm that came to me for Cheryl.
Okay.
It's Psalm 27. And this is titled The Psalm of Fearless Trust in God. And that's what I hear in her heart. She wants and she's got. And God's going to make it stronger. Because all the things that David went through. And the Bible says that, how does it go? Something, he makes even our enemies to be at peace with us. I don't remember the first part of that, but I thought of that scripture too. Her enemies will be at peace with her. She's trusting the Lord and loving her enemies, wherever that goes. But anyway, this is Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing have I asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around about me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices and shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this, for Cheryl, God. Thank you, Jesus. May she just even do that now. The river of this grace and the strength to shout her praises unto you, Father, because you will vindicate her, Father. You are her God, and you are true to your promises, God, and you will fight her battle, Lord, as she puts her trust in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Okay, Lana or Theo?
It's Lana. I just wanted to share or say a couple of words of encouragement in Cheryl's direction. Her heart's cry is so sweet. And such trials are so bittersweet because the Lord is so close and your enemies are nipping at your heels. But victory is not far. And it just touches me deeply. And we are in agreement with Cheryl that the Lord is going to come through victorious. But the word that comes to my mouth, having gone through my own trials, nothing like this, but it's bittersweet because of the closeness of the Lord and the bitterness of the enemies around you. But yet that's how the Lord draws us near. And I would never trade those trials looking back now. So Lord bless you, and we stand with you in Christ.
Amen, we do. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, how many of you want to hear a word from the Lord? Oh, okay. Thank you, Lord. All right, this is straight from the Lord. Not only that, it was today. The recent trials and events coming upon you all, are to expose hidden things that are in your heart or your soul. These trials are my mercy and grace to bring darkness and lies into the light. Without these trials, you wouldn't see what's hiding within you. When you see the evil that has been hiding, you can recognize it, but you have to come out of agreement with it. The recent factions had hidden evils in their heart, and it was brought into the light, and they chose their sin, their demon, rather than choosing my spirit and the way of complete holiness. My eternal bride is glorious and is perfect, just as my son. If you are content with only having a distant friend relationship with me, then you will have that. There are many here with me, even now, talking about in heaven, aren't as close to me as they could have been or be, though they are as close to me as they want to be. To be closer to me, you need to let go of all subtle idols. What would you rather be doing than in my presence? Or what are you doing without my presence with you? If you aren't constantly communing with me now, how will you commune with me every moment for all eternity? Think about that. Choose wisely, as your decisions now affect your eternity. Count these trials as joy and a blessing that you are worthy to suffer for my name's sake, that you will be holy without spot or blemish and be able to stand in my presence. To my chosen, I will keep destroying every idol you have that isn't me. I am jealous for you, and I'll do what it takes for you to choose me in everything. I will show you that there is no answer or satisfaction in anything other than me. And someone said, I felt this meant he will do whatever it takes for us to let go of idols. This will hurt if our heart is with it, but ultimately it's for our own good. Yes, exactly. Rest in my promises and they will manifest. Submit to me and the devil will flee. Seek me on my purpose in this trial and what I am trying to teach you. Learning this lesson quickly helps the trial pass quicker, but do so without doubt and complaint. I am for you and not against you. Everything I do is to perfect you, but I can only do my work when you allow me to. Allow your eyes to be open to see in which areas you are out of my will, and allow me to help you get rid of all earthly mindset and carnal reasoning. Glory to God. Remember, I am in control no matter what happens. Get deep into my presence. Meditate and seek me with all your mind, soul, and spirit, and you will see clearly in the light the truth of what is going on and why. In my presence, you will discern the evil and good and see the things that are really in your heart. Give the sin to me. I want to take it away from you, but I won't force it from you. Look at those that fell away. You are a witness to what happens to those that won't give up their hidden sins. The path they take is a dangerous one that only few return back from. It said, I felt God is shaking everything that can be shaken inside of us to bring secret things in us to light so we can come out of agreement with it, and in exchange, we'll be closer to Him. Amen. We're in a time now, we got to get rid of all of it. Allow the Lord to take it from you. You say, Lord, I give it all. I'll put it all on the altar to you. You take it away from me. And just don't understand the trials are going to come up. That's okay. You've given it to him. And it won't last long, he said. Glory to God. Any questions? Yeah, Andrew.
You mentioned the altar. Do we ever get out of our altar? Like when you, I notice your bed is there. You go to for sleep at night, you know. I kind of picture when I go to bed that I'm just lying down on my altar there. And you're a really good receiver because, you know, you sometimes you got to just blanket your mind. And in the time when you're resting at night, you know, that's when it happens the most. And that's why so many people get such lovely dreams. And, of course, I'm just speaking off the cuff right now. And I think that the Lord gave me that to say.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else?
I guess you never do leave your altar then, eh? If that's the question.
Most of my day is right here.
Yeah, you know, and
in this room, not in the bed.
in our praising and praying and studying, yeah, and meditating, it's tough when you used to have to deal with people. You know,
amen.
With what's out there. And, but you're still in that altar when that happens.
Amen. There's something else that I'd like to bring up, if I could. The Lord has been dealing with me for allowing. The Lord got on to us here, not get on to it, but he warned us about Jezebel coming into this fellowship, that they're going to try to make it in. Let me say this about the outreach. I have been a lot lenient. I can't anymore because the Lord has warned me to stop it. And here's what I'm talking about. We subtly sometimes will say, well, this is something we all need to do, or, you know, you need to do this. And is that, you can't do that, women. That's teaching. You cannot do it. Now, I don't mind giving testimonies. I don't mind getting what the Lord has shown you, but to teach is not allowed. The Lord has gotten on to me about it. So we have to adhere to what the Word says. And just be mindful of what you're saying. I really love the testimony. Don't get me wrong. I like them, but we can't have teaching. And even teaching in a subtle way is not going to be allowed. I won't bring it up openly. I'll have to text somebody or something like that. But we gotta do what the Lord wants. And I'm not trying to run anybody off. I'm just wanting to do what the Lord wants me to do. I'm not trying to please man either. I won't please him. Okay, other than that, everything's cool. Now, Julie, you had your hand up.
Well, I thought about playing a song, but after you said all that, I'm just like, I just want to be quiet. I just wanted to play a song that I thought kind of went to in line with what you shared.
Okay. All right, we got a few minutes, unless somebody got something before we get out of here. I don't mean it get out of here away. I bet close it. You know what I'm saying? Because I love being here with y'all. Go ahead, Julie. Play the song.
Friend of me. Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all, and find me here, Lord, as you draw me near. I'm desperate. Desperate for you, I surrender. Thank you.
Amen. That was right on. That's a good song. Thank you, Julie. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat.
Michael, can you send out, email out that, which you just read?
Yes, I will. You'll have to give me some time, okay? Cause
yeah, it doesn't need to be done right now. It just, yep. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
I can do that. And I'll probably add something else on there that the Lord gave us too. That's good. One other thing. The Lord was telling us that if you're praying for somebody, don't curse them. Always. If it's, let's say it's a daughter that's gone astray. Oh, boy, I tell you what, I don't know what we're going to do about that girl. Goodness sake. She's going out there doing this and doing that. And I just don't know how I'm going to, I don't know if she'll ever get into the kingdom. No, here's what he wants you to do. He says, look at that. Somebody asks you about you, somebody that you're praying for, say, oh, God's working in them in a mighty way because they're coming into the kingdom and they are going to be a mighty woman or man of God. That's what he wants out of us. That gives him the avenue to go ahead and start working in their life. When you do that, when you curse them, you shut it off. When you bless them, don't even talk bad about it. We need to pray for her cause da 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 da, or he or him or whatever. LGBTQ, RIST, whatever. No, we bless them. They are mighty in God's eyes, and he is doing a mighty work in them. They said, what do you mean, man? But last week you said some, I'm telling you, God's working in them, and he's doing a mighty work in them, and they're coming to Jesus. They've already, the Lord is working so much in their life, they don't even know it. You know, you got to bless them. Don't curse them. Always bless them. That's what the bride does. The bride blesses them. Blesses all the people we're praying for. And that's a lesson to me too, cause you know, sometimes I get carried away. Like, I tell you what, that boy, I'm telling you the truth. I don't know how in the world. No, now I see he's a mighty man of God. That's what I used to do, but I just got tired. Yeah, remember the prodigal son. Thank you, Pat. But you speak blessings on it. Don't speak curses. Amen. Well, Father, I just thank you for an awesome night tonight. I thank you for all the testimonies. I thank you for all the teachings. I thank you, Father, for everything that you've done tonight. It's been an awesome night. And I thank you, Father, for the testimony that Cheryl gave. It is a reminder to us to leave the flesh alone and go after you with all our heart. Thank you, Father, that man is not our idol. It's you that is our idol. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. Bless all my brothers and sisters here tonight with a good night's sleep or a good day's work, whatever, wherever they are in the world. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that tomorrow morning when they wake up here locally, they're going to be supernaturally supercharged and with all the energy and the love of God displayed in their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Thank you, Father. I believe it. In Jesus' name. Woo! Glory to God. Good night, y'all.
Good night. Blessing. God bless.